What I've done is I ordered the 5th Fleet to go set off the coast of Italy. We're working with our international partners, NATO, see to it that the Constitution of Italy is upheld. Not going to let these independentistas in Venice violate international law. Proceed. So I've instructed my cabinet to be on alert to bomb them. Got to. So now Venice has voted to do what Crimea voted to do, and now Scotland's going to vote to do the same thing, and then Catalonia's going to do it. Secession's everywhere, folks. Greetings at the Monday.
Yeah, come on a beer me. How about that? Good hot day out here. It's almost 90 degrees. I can't believe it. I'm in my shorts here, man. It's hot, and that's good. I can take that. I can take it. Yeah. Terrible Tommy here at the bunker, right here at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse. And that's right next to our Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard. We got a whole new batch in there, and we got the doors open on the sale barn. Yeah, we worked all winter putting these things back in shape. All this war material that your lovely government left laying all over the world. Just left it lay. Walked off and left it. So we just come along, hire a few natives, load them up, bring them on over here. Fix them up, paint them up. All you have to do is come down here with your 18-wheelers, pull in, make a deal. While you're making a deal, the kids can ride the zebra and the elephant we've got down here this summer. I think we're getting an ostrich in here pretty soon, too. So there you go. That's the way you do it. But pull off the side of the road with your 18-wheeler. This is a narrow road, and I don't want to upset my neighbors. Okay? Well, it's Thursday today, and it's the 8th of May. Thursday. We got half a moon out there. Half a moon. And even though it was half a moon, it was pretty bright last night because we had a totally clear sky. And it was shining in my bedroom window there. I thought somebody had a light spotlight coming through the window. Somebody was asking me whether we had the book by James von Brunn, Kill the Best Gentiles. I have not seen that book. If anybody knows anything about it, and I'm sure somebody out there does, let me know. Or let merchandiseresist at yahoo.com know. Well, what do you think about this? The United States racially biased criminal justice system is having an unintended consequence on the medical innovation, according to a new study published in the Health Affairs Journal. Researchers suggest that due to the mass incarceration of Negro American men in this country, clinical trials are having trouble getting enough black subjects to experiment on. So don't go to jail, man. We need to experiment on you. Well, there is no joy in Blacksville, at least some Blacksville. This might be one of the most bizarre media revelations in quite some time. But according to TMZ, Apollo Nita is going to be serving as a spy for the government. The husband of Real Housewives star Fadra Parks has, according to the outlet, struck a deal that will help him to avoid 30 years of prison after he was found to have stolen $2.3 million in a massive mail fraud scheme that stunned his wife and her friends. Well, she says that she was stunned, but there are some who've accused of Fedra of knowing what was going on all along. That's about, 2 years ago she was arrested? The 35-year-old, according to TMZ, is going to be an informant, similar to Reverend Al Sharpton, who was also forced to spy for the feds after being caught in the middle of a drug deal. I always knew he was a scam artist. But the site also acknowledged that Nita will have a hard time being stealth when he and his wife are on national television every week. Nita has agreed to allow the feds to record conversations he may have with other criminal suspects, the site continued. In other words, he's a snitch, and he'll probably end up getting iced. Fedra's husband has appeared in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Georgia this week. He may still face as many as 30 years in prison and a fine up to $1 million. Judge Charles Pennell will decide Nita's fate and will make his decision on July 8th at 2 p.m., so make sure you're there. We're sure the show is going to use this one for the ratings. They use everything else. TMZ is an interesting take on Apollo's decision to work for the feds to keep himself out of prison. the image of Apollo dressed as a wimpy, shifty-eyed rat eating a piece of cheese is far less flattering than the pretty boy eyes and candy image he has been able to cultivate on the show. That's according to a black magazine, not me. The authorities say that Nita stole the identities of 50 people in order to set up fake bank accounts. He also cashed checks from the Delta Airlines pension fund and faked tax returns. According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Nita is also accused of setting up fake debt collection companies in order to get access to the IDs of people he robbed. Yeah, busy boy. This little black boy is busy. He's a mulatto. He's pretty light. To top it all off, Nita also set up a fake auto dealership in order to get false car loans. So he was knee-deep in criminal life, man. Phaedra should probably look beyond a man's smile and body when choosing a husband. This could bring her down, too. Wow. Let's see here. They've got a video on here. Let's see if they say anything. Yeah. You remember that rock and roll singer back in the 60s, Sam Cooke? I must admit, he was black, mulatto, but he was a damn good singer. Well, a lot of people wonder how he died. I know how he died because I lived not a hell of a long way from where he was shot. On December 11th, 1964, Sam Cooke was fatally shot by Bertha Franklin, also black, the manager of the Hacienda Motel in Los Angeles, California, at the age of 33. Now, I'm not sure whether Bertha Franklin's black, but I think she was. At the time, the courts ruled Cook was drunk and distressed, and the manager had killed Cook in what was later ruled as justifiable homicide. Since that time, though, the circumstances of his death have been widely questioned. Well, don't do him any good. He'd been down there in the ground for a long time. Some of you oldie goldies might remember he saying, "You send me, a change is gonna come." Cupid, Chain Gang, Wonderful World, Twisting the Night Away. Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you get drunk and disorderly in a motel. They kill you. What do you think about this one? Rikers Island inmate baked to death in overheated cell. Yeah. A mentally ill black inmate at Rikers Island passed away in an overheated cell just one day after officials at the prison had requested repairs on the heating problem. The Associated Press reports that two requests for repairs were made on February 14th, but delayed due to a holiday weekend, since we were all celebrating President's Day. And meanwhile, he cooked. Hey, you guards, I know you're KKK guys that were guards that day. If you're one of those basketball nuts, you probably remember Elgin Baylor from way back. Yeah. Former NBA player and L.A. Clippers general manager Elgin Baylor spoke with CNN on Wednesday about Donald Sterling's racial views. Baylor acknowledged that he had disagreements with Sterling over the issue of race, and that Sterling would sometimes bring women into the locker room to show off the bodies of African-American players. Probably white women, too. How about that? Well, I see that our North Korean people are saying nasty things about our presidente. In a magazine out of North Korea, they're calling him a monkey. And quote, he's crossbred with unclear blood, unquote, among other epithets. Well, we gotta launch a missile at that damn North Korea right now. Declare war on that little guy. Anybody's got balls to stand up and call Obama a monkey, he's okay in my book, at least for a while. Give him the Aryan of the Day award. And they even went on to say They call him a clown, a dirty fellow, and somebody who does not even have basic appearance of a human being. Propriety has never been a part of the North Korean rhetoric. They speak straight. But rarely has Pyongyang so ferociously and personally attacked a U.S. anthropoid leader. In this case, pulling language right out of the American 1850s, which was very correct. The attack seems unabashed, except for one thing. Unlike most articles published by the North's state-run news agency, this one wasn't translated into English. And later on in the article, they say Obama still has the figure of a monkey while the human race has evolved through millions of years, unquote. Quote, it would be perfect for Obama to live with a group of monkeys in the world's largest African natural zoo and lick the breadcrumbs thrown by spectators, unquote. The White House criticized the North Korean rant. I could hear Obama behind closed doors. Well, that motherfucker! I'm going to nuke that bastard! Quote, while the North Korean government-controlled media are distinguished by their histrionics, these comments are particularly ugly and disrespectful, Caitlin Hayden, a white woman for the National Security Council, said in a statement. The diatribe published on May 2nd by the Korean Central News Agency almost escaped foreign attention. But Josh Stanton, who blogs regularly about the North's viciousness and rights privilege violations, uncovered the Korean-only piece, as well as a separate, milder article that was translated into English and in which Obama was called a wicked black monkey. I guess they got better eyes than most white people do in this country, those Koreans. The Korean-only piece, headlined Divine Retribution for the Juvenile Delinquent Obama, unquote, featured four lengthy passages, each attributed to a regular citizen. In the North, quotations of citizens are state-sanctioned and are often spoon-fed by the government's propaganda department, analysts say, just like here in the United States, right? In some cases, North Korea's verbal attacks can be milked for amusement. Their outrage directed at imperialist lackeys. Well, I think a lot of them are. And thrice-cursed stooges. Well, Washington's full of stooges, all right. So far, I don't see much wrong with this. But when North Korea talks about race, it's almost always important. And telling about the state ideology, some academics, mostly notable B.R. Myers, argues that, I'm a little off here. Let me get back on the track here. Myers argues that the North Koreans fundamentally have a race-based worldview. Well, that's great. I'm glad to see there's some racists left in the world, showing more similarities to fascist Japan during World War II than Joseph Stalin's Soviet Union. Myers condenses North Korea's state orthodoxy into a sentence. Quote, the Korean people are too pure-blooded and therefore too virtuous to survive in this evil world without a great parental leader, unquote. Well, it's sounding better all the time. No wonder they want to make him look like a terrible guy over there in North Korea. And no wonder there were some of the guys from Korea that decided not to come home and are still living in North Korea. The notion, of course, has been contorted to allow the most non-parental kind of leadership. But North Korea still goes to alarming lengths to maintain racial purity. How about that? North Korean women often cross into China looking for work or an escape. If those women are impregnated and forcibly repatriated to the North, they're subject to either forced abortions or infanticide. Hey, I think we've stumbled onto something here. Get me my tickets, honey. I'm going to North Korea. The United Nations said in a recent human rights report that this practice points to an underlying belief in a pure Korean race in the DPRK, to which mixed race children of ethnic Koreans are considered a contamination of its pureness. The report refers to the North Korea by its official name, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. North Korea is proving its willingness to advertise all forms of contempt, racial or otherwise. Last month, its state news agency lashed out against the openly gay leading author of the UN Human Rights Report, calling him a disgusting old lecher, unquote. And last week, the North called South Korean President Park Geun-hye an old prostitute, unquote, which he probably is. Obama walked into North Korea's crosshairs after his recent visit to Asia, which included stops in Tokyo and Seoul, Korea. Washington and Pyongyang have gone more than 2 years without dialogue, and the North faces little risk of direct backlash for its comments. You're afraid he's going to lob one into you, aren't you? But there are some clear contradictions in North Korea's stereotyping. The North maintains active ties with several African countries and just signed a cooperation agreement with Nigeria. Well, that doesn't mean they're race mixing with them. It just means they're doing business. National Socialist Germany had business deals with third world countries all over the place. Meanwhile, North Korea this year welcomed a team of former NBA basketball players, most of them African American, for the exhibition game attended by leader Kim Jong-un. Well, there you go. What do you think of that? You see that in the New York Times or Post? Maybe, but I didn't see it. Sounds pretty cool to me. I will send this article out by email to you. And this is from the New York Times. Why the Germans like Russia. Like most foreign policy experts, I was shocked by Russia's annexation of Crimea, its continuing soft invasion of eastern Ukraine. Can such a naked land grab really happen now in the 21st century Europe? That's the Clemens Wergen who wrote this article. But Russia's actions were not the only surprise. If you follow the German debate about the Ukraine crisis, you have witnessed another strange phenomenon. A parade of former politicians and public figures going on TV to make the case for Russia. Yeah, just like they should have kept the deal in 42. God, just think of what it would be now if Germany and Russia would have combined, or at least never had a war. According to these August figures, including former chancellors Gerhard Schroeder and Helmut Schmidt, NATO and the European Union were the real aggressors because they dared to expand into territory that belonged to Moscow's legitimate sphere of interest. And it seems part of the German public agrees. Probably a lot more than you'd think. You thought the Germans were the champions of international law and a rules-based world order. In other words, going along with the capitalistas. Think again. There's a blatant hypocrisy here. No, Germany naturally should have more an affinity to the East and Russia than the West. After two wars with the West, why should they trust anything in the West? At times, the same people who had relied on international law to attack the American invasion of Iraq are now as newborn realists, excusing Russia's need to infringe on the sovereignty of other nations. Big deal. In point of fact, despite its trumped-up charges against Iraq, The Bush administration's had at least 16 United Nations Security Council resolutions to support his case. Who cares? Vladimir V. Putin, Russia's president, had zero. Well, that's because of the manipulation of the money, capitalistas, and the Jews. The only common denominator of both positions seems to be an underlying anti-Americanism. No, it's an underlying anti-Russianism. Some of this pro-Moscow sentiment is the work of Russia-sponsored propaganda. I'm not even going to read all this because I can see he's trying to twist it around. But the point is, the first thing I read to you, why Germans love Russia. And I encourage Germany to have more and more agreements with Russia. They have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain. I just wish it hadn't taken 60 to 70 years or 80 years or 100 years to figure that out. As far as I'm concerned, most of this came from this reverence to the British Empire. This ridiculous worship of the British Empire. Even Adolf Hitler was mesmerized by it and operated foolishly. But I think now that Britain has allowed the wogs of the world to swarm onto its shores and deplete the strength of Britain, and the empire is gone, European countries are going to do the logical. They're going to go where the power and the strength is and where there's a lot of other white people. I ask you this, what is Washington criminals going to do when they call for NATO and all the NATO countries say, fuck you, Uncle Sam, we've changed our mind. Besides, you haven't been paying us off. You know you got to pay us off if you want us to do this stuff. Well, this is a hell of a note. The staff of MSNBC's Way Too Early is apologizing for an on-camera display of insensitivity and ignorance on Monday, which was Cinco de Mayo, which celebrated actually a loss to the Mexican opposition to the French. The show opened with dancing and mariachi shaking host Thomas Roberts. Welcome to the Way Too Early, the show that loves Cinco de Mayo, even though we only speak Spanish un poco, he said, suggesting his audience should make a drinking game out of the day's program. We're going to work on that throughout the show. We want you to take a shot of tequila every time we talk about the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Another segment featured reporter Louis Bergdorf, who paused to make a shot of tequila before going through the headlines, dropping in an ole for good measure. Bergdorf was later seen dancing through the shot several times in another segment, wearing a sombrero and swinging a bottle of tequila. Oh my goodness. This is a liberal channel, too. Quote, this is simply the worst example I have seen of discriminatory, stereotypical portrayal of any community by any media. Unquote. The fact for this was done by a news organization is abominable. Isn't that the Reverend Al Sharpton's channel, MSNBC, that rails against racism? Hugo Balta, president of the National Association of Mestizo Journalists, of course, we've got one of those now, quote, this wasn't a chance occurrence. This was a planned segment where many decision makers at MSNBC, the hypocritical liberal channel that's always condemning phony Fox, Way Too Early program, agreed on the content and execution, which concluded on what was seen nationwide. Wow. It feeds to the ignorant misconceptions of a rich and proud people who unfortunately too often portrayed as caricatures to be scoffed at. Well, that's not the white Mexican citizens. That's your mestizo masses, your colored masses. Let's see, I think I've got a soundbite on this. Let's see. see what it says here. Just a second. My God, this is terrible. This is terrible.
Water cooler and check in with Lewis, who's going to break down what we saw for this weekend. And happy
That's
Cinco
right.
de Mayo.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Let me just take a shot here to get the thing started.
Oh, Lordy,
you know?
Lordy, Lordy.
Ooh. Whoa.
Olé.
There you go. You got your go-go juice.
That's it.
Give it to us.
So we already saw some of the best lines from the president and Joel McHale.
This footage this morning, I got to say, I agree. I mean, look at those dance moves.
I know. If this was being a good dancer.
Now you spin. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
there
yeah,
you go.
Baby.
Get
if
down.
It was about being a good dancer, I would tear it up there at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. But since it's about being funny, I should not do it ever again.
Well, BuzzFeed chronicled more than on-camera antics, such as an attempt to discuss the history of Cinco de Mayo, including the fact that it's, quote, it's also an excuse to drink tequila on a Monday morning at work for Luis, unquote. You mean they don't? I can't believe it. I can't believe. I think most of the mestizo farm workers are drinking beer. I don't think they can afford too much tequila. On Monday, Cinco de Mayo, way too early, made the sarcastic references to the way some Americans celebrate the holiday, especially niggers. They like to make fun of the Mexicans. It was not our intention to be disrespectful. No. And we sincerely apologize for the ill-advised references, MSNBC said in a statement online on Tuesday. Well, your ratings are bad enough. your ratings are trying to appeal to racial America. Yeah. Let's see here. Wednesday morning, Bergdorf and Roberts apologized on air. Quote, after 20 years in this business, anyone who knows me knows where I stand on diversity and race mixing. So to those I let down, I feel betrayed. Or feel betrayed. I hear you and I'm sorry, unquote, Roberts said after reading the earlier published statement on camera. You hypocrite bastard. They're such hypocrites. I want to express my sincere apologies as well, Bergdorf added as he broke down in tears. Quote, it was never my intention to offend anyone, and if I did, and I know I did, I'm very sorry.
A moment right here, because on Monday, Cinco de Mayo, way too early, made sarcastic references to the way some Americans celebrate the holiday, and it was not our intention to be disrespectful, and we sincerely apologize for those references. You know, after 20 years in this business, anyone who knows me knows where I stand on diversity and inclusion. So, to those I let down or feel betrayed, I hear you and I'm sorry. So we want to go over to Lewis now with a look at the stories in the cooler this morning, and I know you are contrite as well.
Thomas, I wanted to express my sincere apologies as well. I truly was never my intention to offend anyone, and if I did, and I know I did, I'm very sorry.
I'm very sorry. I shouldn't have done that, man. And now I'm in trouble. And we may lose more ratings for this pissy-ass Al Sharpton channel. Al Sharpton working for the government as a spy. And you guys singing mariachi songs. Fox is going to take over, man. You're losing totally out, man. Well, MSNBC continues to crash and burn, or maybe it's designed to get some of the white viewers back. Martin Beshear, who's a off-color kind of guy, I don't know what the hell his race is or where he came from, has left MSNBC after making crude remarks about Sarah Palin on his show last month. On November 15th, well, this is an older story, Beshear was responding to Palin's comparison of the national debt to slavery. Well, she's correct about that. And said that the former vice presidential nominee's comments dehumanized the horrifying pain and torture that slaves endured. Are you kidding? What a moron. He specifically noted the story of Thomas Thistlewood, a slave owner, who forced his slaves to defecate in each other's mouths as punishment. Even spelling out the S word and suggesting that someone should do the same to her? That is really over the line, I would say. You know, if there is a line anymore, it's only line when white people say this kind of stuff. Quote, when Ms. Palin invokes slavery, she doesn't just prove her rank ignorance, Bashar told his audience. Well, how do you know? She probably might know since she had that African that African preacher come over and do his rites of cleaning the mind of Palin up there in that church he belongs to. I forget everything that did happen there. I guess he ran around the church and shook his beads and stuff. So she knows a lot about Africans. She confirms that if anybody's anyone truly qualified for a dose of discipline from Thomas Thistlewood, then she would be the outstanding candidate for somebody to shit in her mouth. You know, could you imagine a white guy on TV saying that? This guy, he just lost his job. He'll turn up someplace. He'll turn up someplace else. Wait a minute. Let's see what I've got here. Boys. Oh, they had a video of this, but it does not exist anymore. How about that? The backlash began almost immediately with Palin calling the comments evil and vile. Bashar took 2 weeks vacation to step away from the scandal, but the lack of formal punishment from the network only served to fuel the outrage, which was happening the same time as MSNBC was dealing with hurtful comments from another of its hosts. Can you believe this guy wasn't fired? Yeah, I can believe it. You know, jeez. MSNBC execs had initially suspended Alec Baldwin for 2 weeks after he directed his anti-LGBT slur at a photographer. Ultimately, both men met the same fate, parting ways with the network, though neither was officially fired. It is my sincere hope that all of my colleagues at this special network will be allowed to focus on the issues that matter without distraction of myself or my ill-judged comments, Bashar wrote in a statement posted on MSNBC website. I deeply regret what was said and will endeavor to work harder not to make it so public in the future. I'll just say it in privacy of my own bar where I hang out at making constructive contributions in the future, and will always have a deep appreciation of our viewers, who are the smartest, most compassionate, and discerning of all television audiences. I would also wish to express my deepest gratitude to my immediate colleagues and our contributors, all of whom have given so much to themselves and to our broadcast. I think you mean all five viewers? MSNBC President Phil Griffin added, Martin Bashar resigned today, effective immediately. I understand his decision, and I thank him for the 3 great years with MSNBC until he started talking about shit in people's mouth. Martin is a good man and respected colleague. We wish him only the best. Can you imagine if that had been a white guy? Well, geez, he'd never work in the industry again, man. That just shows you what pussies white people are and what pussies the corporate whites are. And they don't care as long as they keep making money. They'll put these stooges out there and let them take the brunt of it.
To former governor of the great state, the great big state of Alaska, Governor Sarah Palin. Morning.
Hey, thanks for letting me be here. Good
appreciate
morning.
You guys. You. Thanks. You know, it's interesting today with the news of Martin Bashar resigning, post an apology, sort of a 3 week missing time from television. And we want to talk about your book, Good Tidings, in the segment. You say something here that I think is applicable to Martin Bashar. You said, if you live and love this world, you will be hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, his comments were hurtful and wrong. Do you think resigning is enough? He did apologize. He resigned instead of being fired. Is that enough? What's your reaction to that news?
Well, my role was to accept his apology and be humble enough to, accept it and move on. But I just hope that unprovoked attacks like that don't result in people being hesitant to jump in the arena anyway, to get out there and serve the public or, start a business or really commit themselves to changing within their family, their community, their world, doing whatever that they can, despite the fact that in this world you are going to be hurt and attacks will come your way. I just hope that an attack like that doesn't make people hesitate.
Well, you know, one of the things about his attack is it was scripted. It was premeditated. We've all said things on TV when we're ad-libbing.
Well, not me, but go ahead.
It didn't come out exactly right. But this was, you know, the people at NBC had a chance to review it, and they obviously, or apparently, all agreed. And
after weeks.
Well, it was refreshing to see, though, that many in the media did come out and say, look, our standard.
Yeah, they said, you know what they said? It ain't right to say that nigga should shit in your mouth. Sarah Palin, can you believe this bitch? I mean, she should be suing that son of a bitch at hiring hitmen. I mean, you know, this happened a while back, I guess, and I missed it. But what a, you know, that son of a bitch, Bashar. Any of you guys know, is he some kind of a wog or what is he? He's not white. It could be anything, I guess. But if Sarah Palin's friends and herself don't take up the battle axe, I guess she just deserves, because she wants to be a media whore so bad, she'll put up with anything. If the guy says, well, I'm sorry I said people should shit in your mouth. I'm really sorry I said that. Yes, you sure do. Here's a few questions about how the Jew Sterling basketball owner got away with it so long. Question. Donald Sterling has been an openly misogynistic, I have trouble with that word, womanizing dirtbag for years. Why did he get a pass until now? Answer. I think Sterling was caught in four trends. One, our data shows that sexism is a larger axis of discrimination than race and or ethnicity. I think Sterling's misogyny would have been tolerated, but his racism was not. Two, money interest. The players were planning a work disruption during the crescendo of the season. The potential loss in advertising, merchandising, and the arena revenue made Sterling's continued presence a financial risk. This does not always make the case alone. For example, Mark Emmert, president of the NCAA, is making such foolish remarks that he's going to hasten college sports reforms. More on Emmert later. Three, social media effectiveness. Going viral is now something that most Americans understand. This, too, does not always make the case. Well, that's a situation where the media decide what you're going to get excited about. That's all that is. If they get excited, you're supposed to get excited. Four, senior leadership. Today's effective senior leader is very cognizant of his or her responsibility for understanding how values impact items one and two above. I don't think the NBA's last commissioner, who tolerated Sterling's, would have acted as decisively as Adam Silver, another Jew, who has been widely commended for his swift and firm dismissal of Sterling from the NBA community. You notice in all these articles, nobody appears to be identified as a Jew? Never. Especially when they do something naughty. The most important trend, in my opinion, is number three. I'll use another sports story to illustrate why I say this. Northwestern University football players recently won a decision by the National Labor Relations Board that allows them to form a union. The players have a few reasonable and logical demands, including health care for life if injured and guaranteed scholarships. Oh, boy, the owners aren't going to like that. Take care of my injuries for life? You're just supposed to get out there, nigga, and make us lots of money. At this point, most Americans do not agree with the college players forming a union. What do you mean, most Americans? How can you document that? I think they all should have unions. But most blacks and Latinos agree. Well, that's interesting. See how anti-union most white people have become? No wonder they're getting their ass kicked in the workplace. Further, there is now a course on concussions in sports at George Washington Law School. What I see as an accelerate for this process is that Emmert must love the taste of his own shoe leather because he can't seem to keep his foot out of his mouth. 6 of the top 10 results of a Google search for his name are critical articles, one describing him as a rich asshole, referring to his $1.6 million compensation and possibly to the expensive Newt Gingrich-like haircut that seems to be popular with certain kinds of men. Emmert's Ask Emmert Twitter campaign was a hilarious disaster. There's a lesson here. Leaders who aren't clear about their values and or too arrogant are going to be run over from behind by today's media, which is not led by the New York Times or CNN. It's led by people. Twitter, change.org, Facebook, and etc. And that people can achieve critical mass in just a few hours. They can go crazy, man. People in organizations that ignore an offensive person or a message will be punished economically on a scale that is unprecedented in both its scope and swiftness. Well, I say this stuff every day, and they haven't affected me. I'm doing okay. I'm doing fine. In closing, it's disgusting that Sterling was tolerated for so long. My spidey sense perked right up as soon as I saw the picture of him with women who were clearly more than 50 years younger and clearly not his granddaughters. Typically Jewish habit. In the front row of a crowd at a game. This is a guy who... He didn't want his girl bringing niggers. He didn't want to share the bench with these nigger guys. He wanted hot babes next to him. This is a guy who couldn't care less what you think and is going to behave any way he wants. People that wealthy used to be protected by those who either benefited from the wealth or wanted to suck up to it. But the scales tipped on my first, second, and third points, and the leadership of the NBA knew when to cut the relationship with Alacriti. A shame it didn't happen years ago, but we can point to this as a sign of progress. As all the other racist owners behind closed doors say the same thing. Well, I see they're starting on a project on out in the ocean on the East Coast. They're starting off projects that should be completed by 2017 of giant wind turbines and other power making machinery out on the off the coast on the ocean. They're going to build foundations down to the bottom of the ocean and mount these big generators, wind generators and so forth, which I think is a good idea. They're going to do it at two places, I believe, on the East Coast and one someplace else. I didn't catch that. So anyhow, sometimes I think things are positive. Anything towards taking advantage of solar power and wind power sounds like a good idea to me.
Future of energy. Solar wind energy has developed a new way to produce abundant, clean, affordable electricity. The solar wind energy tower is located in a hot, dry area. A water spray system at the top of the tower introduces measured droplets to the dry air, which immediately absorbs the water, gains weight, and sinks, causing a natural downdraft contained inside the walls of the tower. At the base of the tower, the wind is diverted sideways into wind tunnels, where a patented system of multiple turbines extracts the wind's energy, converting it into hydraulic pressure. Each tunnel has a dedicated generator room with multiple size generators powered by the patented hydraulic drive system. The vast majority of the water is then collected and recirculated while the tower produces abundant, clean, affordable electricity 24 hours a day and night, 365 days a year.
Now that's a land-based project, but the other projects I talked about are going to be off the coast in the Atlantic. Now, the next thing I'm waiting on is some real entrepreneur to develop something a lot smaller that will work for a single-family dwelling. How about that? Especially, it would work well in the more arid, deserty areas of the country. And whatever happened to those new solar panels that were supposed to be like 50% or better, maybe not that much, more efficient. I've lost track of that. And what about the deal where you could paint your house and this particular paint on the house became a solar energy gatherer? What about whatever happened to that? The problem with this, all these great things, if we'd have kept our population at 1950s and 60s level, this would be wonderful. But the more you advance and are able to get more energy for less cost, the more your population will increase. The more they'll flood in here from third world countries. And so unless you stop importing people, none of this stuff will make any difference, because by the time you get it built, it'll be too late, outmoded. Now, in a place like Switzerland, you know, if they had the same, you know, type of a land, it'd be perfect, because they know how to control their borders. Or some other small country that knows how to control their borders. But the United States, forget it. Well, it seems like the Jew boys are trying to wiggle their way back into control of Hungary, and the Hungarian traitors at the top are going for it. This is out of Israel. HE Ambassador Endor Nagy, Ambassador of Hungary to the State of Israel. This will be more than a typical ambassador's series event. In partnership with the Hungarian Embassy in Israel, we will have a panel discussion about tradition, innovation, and the future of youth in both Israel and Hungary. The evening will start off with Gergely Bazominyi Nagy, who has a presentation of his Budapest-based institution design terminal. Now, this guy's probably a Jew himself, after which we will continue with an open discussion about the perspectives of youth of Jewish identity in the world, which will be available on Facebook at Hungary Israel. And then this is going to take place, in case you happen to be running around Israel that day, May the 22nd, 6:30 to 9 p.m., at the ambassador's private residence at 181 HA-NASI, then YITSKHAK, and then BEN, and then TSVI, and then HERZLIYA, and then PITAUCH. Free beer and snacks included. So you can go over to the Hungarian ambassador's house and get boozed up. Check them out. Attendance is strictly limited to young professionals. Uh-huh. RSVP above now. Salon patrons attending our ambassador's series of events are presenting our Tel Aviv community to the International Diplomatic Corps. Please dress appropriately, and we kindly ask that you arrive on time. You got that straight, boys and girls? Yes. Just a minute here. So anyhow, it looks like here goes Hungary again, back into the same old shit they got out of during World War II, at least for a while. I want one of you lone wolves who attend this thing to report back to me as soon as possible.
Americans are living in an area that has an unhealthy amount of air pollution, and it could lead to lung cancer. That's according to data that was recently released by the American Lung Association. And to give you a sense of just how many Americans are living in unsafe conditions, nearly 148 million people live in areas where smog and soot particles make it unhealthy to breathe the air. And that's according to, again, the American Lung Association study on U.S. air quality. Now, smog or ozone had worsened in 22 of the 25 biggest U.S. metropolitan areas, including Los Angeles, Houston, Washington, Baltimore, New York City, and also Chicago. And an important point to mention when it comes to pollution is climate change is actually making it worse, because with temperatures warming up, the pollution actually gets worse. It's harder to clear the pollution.
So who's paying the American Lung Association for these bogus theories on our climate change?
Fox News is not going to be happy about this. Yeah, I like to imagine that I read quite a bit about the effects of climate change. I did not know that, you know, the warming could make the existing pollution worse. I mean, I know that we often say that we're not doing enough to deal with pollution. We've had some successes, like in L.A., for instance, in fighting smog, fighting some other atmospheric pollutants, like stopping acid rain and things like that. But this is absolutely horrible, and it's the sort of thing that it makes me wonder why the rich don't care more about these issues, or that rich members of the media, for instance, don't talk about it more. Like, I don't, you might have a nice car and you might live in an isolated community. The pollution can still roll over your area. I mean, if Houston has bad pollution, then if you live in Sugar Land, which is this awesome area, you're getting pollution from Houston. Mm-hmm. I've read recently that a significant portion of the pollution in San Francisco is generated in China. Mm-hmm. This is a global problem. We need a global solution.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges, a global solution, because it's not something that U.S. legislators can figure out and fix on their own.
Yeah.
You have to get cooperation from other countries. And it's really difficult for a country like the United States, who had, you know, this big manufacturing boom at one point and put out all this pollution, to turn around and look at countries like China and say, oh, you're polluting the world, you need to do something to stop it. I mean,
well, we still need to say that, I would
argue. Of course we do, of course we do. But we, our actions, our actions need to speak louder than our words.
There was a story before, I think, I want to make sure that I had, I couldn't remember the politician's name, but he was all aboard for all of this drilling and oil research, and let's pull, and it was polluting, really. And when one popped up near his house, is when he filed a lawsuit. He's like, listen, you can't put that planet up by my house. So suddenly they understand that there's a problem with pollution, or just with drill baby drill, when it affects them.
Yeah.
Now, it may take them a little bit longer to realize that just because you stop from getting on your house on the hill, right next to your house on the hill, it's still
you
not getting,
tell them it's
still
the getting
there. So once it does, then maybe they'll come around to that stage, but that point is way too late.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of those issues that impacts everyone, whether you're rich or poor. Mm-hmm. And I think that whether they like it or not, people like the Koch brothers at some point have to recognize that their family members, their grandchildren, are going to suffer the consequences of their greed. Mm. So, I mean, I don't think that's going to be enough for them to change their ways. I mean, they're so adamant about cutting taxes and making sure that they protect their coal companies. But it's the absolute truth. This isn't something that discriminates based on socioeconomic status.
Well, there you go. You're breathing bad air. But I've got a late-breaking news item here on foul air. You realize how many million Mexicans are living in L.A. now? And if after eating even one bean burrito in the morning and in the afternoon, if they all fart twice instead of gray smog, L.A.'s got green smog now. Yeah, I bet you didn't know that. Well, you heard it right here on the International Radio of the Insurgent.
A cop has been fired in Knoxville for something he did to a college student, 21-year-old Jared Dotson. Let's bring up the GIF. So you're seeing there, unfortunately, it's just a GIF. It's not a full video. You see, Frank Phillips comes up and begins choking the student as he's being handcuffed until he falls to the ground.
All the way to the ground. What does his shirt say?
Says ain't something.
99 problems, but a cop ain't one.
No, I think the cop's hands are at least two of his problems.
Well, it's about time to close the show, but let me tell you, we had the results of the local election yesterday. We had the state representative, I told you, was a Mexican, and she got trounced by this Jesus-loving, don't attack marriage guy. I don't know which one's the craziest. And then we had a bunch of judges, you know, all promising to hang everybody. But it turns out that less than 19% of the registered voters voted. 19%. Now that's, if you consider all the people who were eligible to vote if they'd registered. You get the idea? So 19% of the people, which are primarily the voters of Republicans, because they always make it to the polls, especially the little old Republican ladies. And a Democrat party is so laughable in this area, it's unbelievable. Anyhow, that's the story. Democracy in action, where you're free and you have liberty as long as you obey the rules and the privileges that you get some privileges. Okay, so 19% of the eligible voters voted. That is, you can't even pretend you're a democracy at that point. And I admit, I don't vote because it's ridiculous. And I think that's the reason why a whole lot of other people don't vote. It's their weapon. Say, screw you, I'm not even going to recognize your position. So that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow on Freya's Day, Ladies' Day in the Bunker, She-Wolf Day. 14-5 and shut up.
Ride this train to Pine Ridge, Mississippi. See that levee there? It's built to hold back the waters of Old Man River when he gets on a rampage. And he gets on a rampage, believe me. One of these days he's going to come right over that levee. We're going to have to head for the hills again. And you know how that levee was built, mister? Not with machines. It is built with elbow grease. They got the men off the farms, out of the houses, even out of the honky-tonks on Saturday night. I don't hardly know how it happened to me. It happens fast. I just remember I was in the Green Lantern in Natchez one Saturday night. Somebody pulled a knife and somebody threw the bottle. And the next thing I knew, I had a chain on my leg and a shovel in my hand. It seemed like a whole world come down on me. They whipped us like mules. When they did beat us, there's always a fight or a killing over who's going to get the biggest piece of meat. Of course, the boss man didn't care about the killings. That is, unless you killed a good worker, then you get killed. If you complain about anything, it's just liable to give you a chance to get away. You know what I mean? They take the chains off of your legs and beg you to run so they can shoot you. Bring a drink of water, Leroy. Bring a drink of water.
No.
If I could get to the Mercy Man, he'd give me some, I know. I got a gal in Vicksburg, Bertha is her name. Wish I was tied to Bertha instead of this ball and chain. I'm going to Memphis.
That's right, Lord.
Yeah. A dude took all my money, wouldn't let me see the cars. I owe the boss about 100 years. Sleeping in his backyard. I'm going to Memphis.
Yeah, Memphis.
Yeah, I'm going to Memphis. I'm like a bitter weed. I'm a bad seed. But when that levee's through and I am through, let the honky tonk roll on. Come on and I'll be gone. I'm going to Memphis. Yeah. I never been to Chicago, but it must be a mighty fine place.
That's right.
I couldn't get past Tennessee with Mississippi all over my face.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to Memphis.
That's right, Lord, Memphis.
Well, the freezing ground at night is my own folding bed. Hope salad is my bread and meat, and it will be till I'm dead. Well, I brought me a little water in a Mr. Prince Albert can.
Uh-huh.
But the boss man caught me drinking it, and I believe he broke my hand. They all call crazy for sassing Mr. Scott. My brother was killed for a deed I did, but I disremember what. Yeah. Well, another boy is down. The shovel burned him out.
Huh?
Let me stand on his body to see what the shouting's about. I'm going to Memphis.
To Memphis.
Yeah,
Memphis.
Lord. Like a bitter weed, I'm a bad seed. But when the levee's through, and I am too, let the honky-tonk roll on. Come on and I'll be gone. I'm going to Memphis.